Welcome to Digitalization Tech Talks, the podcast where we're focusing on topics related to digital technologies in the process industries. Our intent is to present you with information that will help to keep you up to speed with the latest technologies that are soon coming, or in some cases have already reached the market. The subject of workforce development has been a key factor to success for many years. In fact, Henry Ford once said, "The only thing worse than training your employees and having them leave is not training them and having them stay." Implementation of the technologies that we discuss in this podcast series will never be successful unless there's an educated workforce to effectively utilize them. We have touched on worker education in many episodes, with several specifically focused on that topic. And this includes episode 12, which was about operator training simulators, episode 30 on accelerating workforce development with virtual training, and also in episode 36, where we had Avanik talking about fast-tracking plant startup with an operator training system. So we encourage you to go back and check those out if you haven't heard them before. Today, we are again going to dive further into this topic with our guest. But before we do that, let's have a chat with our podcast co-host, Jonas Narinder. Hi, Jonas. What do you think about being educated on workforce development?
Yeah, thank you, Don. I'm really looking forward to this episode, because training is such a critical piece of any discussion that involves digital technologies or digitalization for that matter. A lot of times, technology is what takes the center stage. That's the most important part of any project. And then you don't get to the training piece until very late in the project, almost making it like an afterthought. And at least in my opinion, that's a big mistake. What I am most looking forward to discussing today, though, is how to use digital tools, how they can make the workforce more efficient and more adept at doing their job. So I'm definitely looking forward to our discussion today.
Well, thanks, Jonas. Some great comments. And let's go ahead and meet today's guest. Stephen Moskowitz is the principal with Industry Forward, an advisory firm that works with manufacturers to help them figure out the digital transformation journey. And this includes educating their workforces. Welcome to Digitalization Tech Talks, Stephen.
Thank you, Don, and thank you, Jonas, for having me here. I'm excited to join the conversation and look forward to see where this goes today. This topic of workforce and development and education is something that's really been a core of my career, be it in graduate school, across a variety of roles in companies doing innovation, manufacturing, digitalization, and with my current role, not only with Industry Forward, but also working with the Manufacturing Leadership Council, which is a thought leadership group within the National Association of Manufacturers. This idea of technology is wonderful, but if people don't understand how to use and leverage and benefit from the technology, we're only going to get so far. So excited to talk today and look forward to it.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Stephen. Now, before we get too much into the workforce development topic, though, I'd just like to take a brief step back and hear your take on what some of the top challenges are that manufacturers are facing right now. And I'm sure workforce development is part of it, but let's just look at the bigger picture first, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. So it's a good question, right? We have to make sure that this is a topic that really matters and resonates. If you look at studies from Gartner and McKinsey, the National Association of Manufacturers that I talked about, we see over and over again that this need for a skilled manufacturing workforce, it is a top challenge, both today and for the future. A lot of it, there's data that goes back to the pandemic, where we lost a number of jobs. There's a retiring workforce. There's just a lot of changes going on. And manufacturing is critical. There's also a lot of work today with things like the CHIPS and Science Act in the U.S., the Infrastructure Act as well, to bring manufacturing back into the U.S. We're also seeing this globally, where there's a need to bring manufacturing more regionally. And so you can't do that unless you have the workforce to support those changes. So there's definitely a need here. For example, the NAM, the National Association of Manufacturers, does a quarterly manufacturing outlook. And in first quarter, they found that more than 65% of manufacturers cited the inability to attract and retain employees as their top primary challenge. Now, this number has trended up and down slightly over the past couple of quarters, but it has remained a top challenge over the past number of years, and looking forward continues to be a challenge. So again, this is something that's not going away. As companies are investing in technology, investing in new capabilities, this is going to be critical. If we want to be competitive, both as a region, as a nation, within manufacturing, we have to do that. The other thing I'll say about this challenge is if you look at where the government is making investments, they're highlighting this need for workforce development. The CHIPS and Science Act, for example, has called out specifically the need for workforce development as key components to investments that are being made. They realize we can't make these leaps forward with manufacturing if we don't develop that future workforce. So looking forward to talking.
Well, thanks, Steve. To address that challenge, is this entirely an issue around training or retraining the existing workforce?
It's a good question, Don. I think there's really probably three areas that are being looked at within workforce. So when we look at this problem, it's attracting and retaining workforce are the broad challenges. So the first one is, how do we better train our existing workforce to leverage new technology, to be part of the process of redefining jobs that can use new tech such as generative AI or robotics or additive manufacturing, right? How do we get them involved in the process? How do we better educate our high schoolers, our community college students about the exciting opportunities in manufacturing and realize that they have growth here in this field? A lot of people look at tech as an exciting place to be, or life sciences and pharmaceuticals and all these other areas, but they forget that in the manufacturing world, there's a lot of exciting things going on. The amount of technology, the amount of data analytics that go on, the amount of coding, generative AI coming, the use of the metaverse, there's a huge amount of exciting things happening. And unfortunately, our young up-and-coming workforce isn't aware. They tend to visualize manufacturing as kind of our grandfather's view of manufacturing, right? The old, dirty, dangerous environment. And we need to change that mentality. Finally, the last part is our leaders, right? Our leaders of today and tomorrow, they need to understand what it's going to take to lead in a digital world, a data-informed, data-driven decision-making world, but also how to lead a changing workforce. Right? The expectations of our new generations of workers are different than the existing generation. We need a leadership team that's also going to be evolving. So there's really those three areas that have to be addressed.
And those are pretty big areas. Just some of the examples that you gave, right? I mean, I'm sure we could dive into each of those and spend quite a bit of time talking about them. Not that we want to do that, but let's dive deeper into each of them a little bit, at least the top three that you mentioned. So from your experience, tell me more about what training the existing workforce actually means. Is this, quote unquote, just about using generative AI, as you mentioned, augmented reality, virtual reality, and other tools as part of that training? Or is there more to it?
It's a good question. And I think that's a great place to start. And that is definitely part of the opportunity we have. But I think it's a little bit broader. If you look at our professional learning and development organizations within companies, they need to be prepared to think differently about how they support the workforce. So much of our focus today, if you're at any company and you look at the learning you have to do, so much of it is mandated and required for things like regulatory compliance by IT or security or financials. There's things around safety, right? Your personal safety, your factory safety, intellectual property and cyber safety, environmental safety. And then you get to that job-specific training that you're talking about, where it's how do you learn to do your job more effectively. Unfortunately, almost all of these trainings still leverage the old tools that we've been using for years, right? We're still using PowerPoints. We're still bringing people into classrooms, right? We're still having people read these long documents that, to be honest, nobody ever reads anyway. But that's the way training often takes place. We have better ways to learn. Right? We have better ways to leverage things like this podcast that we're doing today, the ability to do quick videos, the ability, as you said, Jonas, to do augmented and virtual reality. Part of this is not just learning how to use new tools, but actually applying these new tools and technologies to how we learn. As we get new workers into the workforce, they're coming in already experiencing it. They're already involved in doing things like learning in a gaming environment, using augmented and virtual reality, experiencing things like quick videos on TikTok, for example, or YouTube, where they have quick ways to learn. We have to apply that to what's going on in the workforce today. We also need to get our learning and development teams focused more on this process of continuous learning and providing opportunities to engage our workers in the learning process. They know what skills they need. And if they're not being given the opportunity to develop these skills, they're going to fall behind. And too often they're being told, well, if you want to learn about programming or generative AI or robotics, you might have to go do that on your own time because you have a job to do. And we have to get people comfortable with the idea, and this came from, you know, lean manufacturing years ago, that every job has three parts. There's doing your job, there's teaching people how to do your job, and there's improving how you do your job. That teaching and improving of how people get their job done can always benefit from using new technology. So I think that's, to me, a key part of it. It's not just using the technology to go do our jobs better, but it's using the technology to improve how we learn and how we communicate our jobs.
We will now have a brief break for an announcement. Do you remember Sebastian Herdner from Merck, who was on episode 38 of our podcast talking about modular type package? If you're interested in hearing more about what he has to say about the topic, there is a webinar scheduled for May 2nd at 2 p.m. where he will be the main speaker. If you would like to register, go look in the show notes, click on the link there, and you are good to go.
Yeah, Steve, that's really leveraging technology to the fullest. You talked about the future workers or the future workforce and the young people coming up. I'd like to dig into that a little bit more. How does this tie back to the future workforce, if you could dig into that a little bit deeper?
Sure. You know, if you look at the, I'll say kind of the short history of higher education, we've shifted over time to high school. We teach people kind of the basics, and obviously standardized tests we don't even need to talk about, but people learn, you know, the basics. They go to college and we quickly force people into, you know, a silo. Here's your major, here's your degree, go learn this narrow field. And they come into the workforce and they're again expected to do that. But we know the workforce has continued to evolve and change. And what we're seeing happen now in a lot of universities and community colleges is they're starting to shift back to providing broader opportunities, making sure people are not just taking that core curriculum, but really experiencing a variety of coursework, making sure if you're an engineering student, you're taking your English classes, you're taking your religion classes, your philosophy classes, not only to kind of fill those requirements, but to broaden how you learn and how you think. The idea of higher education, and my dad used to always tell me this, he would say, your main goal is to learn how to learn. Right? You're there obviously to develop skills, but it's really to learn the process of learning. And now they're coming into the workforce and we're taking that away from them. We're saying, well, you've learned all these new ways, but this is how we do it in the workforce. You go to these classes, you read these PowerPoints, you read these documents. And so we're not giving people the ability to continue to leverage new ways of bringing technology in how they learn. If you look today at a lot of colleges and universities, community colleges, there's makerspaces, these idea of these small areas where people can come in and do 3D printing. They can build wood chop, woodwork, electrical design. They often have, you know, robotics programs where people have to work together, you know, to build a car, to build a robot that can stack shelves or something. So it's exciting because our students are coming in with this experience outside of the classroom, where they're collaborating, they're partnering, and they're learning these really cool technologies, but they come into the manufacturing environment and we pull that away from them. We have to think about how do we make sure we understand what tools, what experiences, what works for these future students, future workforce, what excites them about learning, and give them those same opportunities. There's groups such as the Manufacturing Institute, which is a non-for-profit funded through the National Association of Manufacturers, looking at workforce development. They're helping community colleges connect with companies and manufacturers. They're making sure we're showing people what's possible. They're also showing manufacturers what technologies are out there that they could bring into the workforce. So making sure we're bringing things like generative AI and 3D printing and spatial reality into the manufacturing world. It's an important thing to show people that the manufacturing world isn't just kind of that old view that we used to look at. It's really exciting. There's a lot of new things out there. I think it's fun. Our up and coming students, they like to tinker. They like to, you know, try things. They like to collaborate, and we have to give them those opportunities in manufacturing as well.
So that sounds like to me that there is a challenge somehow that involves leadership for sure to make that change, to give them these opportunities also when they come into the manufacturing space. So let's talk about leadership there for a moment. It was some great examples you gave talking about some of these opportunities that the younger people have in universities. But let's just move to the leadership. Do you see a difference in the future of leadership? And if so, what does that look like?
Okay, so leadership. It's a great question, Jonas. Leadership drives a lot of things. If you go back to the surveys from folks like the National Association of Manufacturers or Gartner, one of the big challenges we often see is culture, right? Corporate culture is a key driver towards success. And one of those elements of corporate culture is supporting our workforce, supporting learning and development today and in the future. There's a couple of ways to look at this. Number one is investments. Are we actually investing the time and money? Are we giving people the opportunity to learn? Or are we telling them, well, if you want to go do those things that aren't part of your core job, it's on your own time, right? If we're not saying this idea of continual learning is critical, we're not, as leaders, really demonstrating the change in culture that we want. The other big thing is our leaders need to be learning themselves. Are our leaders actively learning about new technology, or do they hear buzzwords on the news and say, oh, we should go try additive manufacturing or generative AI? Or are they actively engaged in learning themselves so they can be part of the conversation with their team? So I think that's one change that has to happen. The other thing is, as we look at the data side, for example, on this digital side, where a lot of the technology is going to be driven through digital, it's no longer through the IT team, right? This idea of digital now being pervasive across an organization is vital. In some companies, they're starting to see the rise of a new leadership role, the CDO, which is the chief data or digital officer, focused on this. And they're typically not necessarily an IT person. Maybe they're from manufacturing or engineering, maybe from the business side, but somebody who can look at how you apply digital solutions across the company. That role has to embrace education and workforce development as a key aspect of what they're responsible for. However, it's not enough for one person to take on this role. You really need the entire leadership team, the entire C-suite or middle management or factory leadership to embrace this. They need to be actively learning themselves. They need to be involved in the process. They need to be helping others. And most importantly, they need to be walking the walk. If we go back to, again, the principles of lean manufacturing, when we would do Gemba walks in our factory, part of the Gemba walk was the leaders knew what should be happening. They knew the questions to ask. They knew how to engage the workforce to make sure that the right work was being done at the right time. If leadership isn't involved in education and workforce development, you're going to see a gap. So they need to be aware of what's possible. They need to be learning themselves, and they need to be really encouraging the workforce to continually be learning as we go forward. So I think there's some really exciting opportunities here, but it's going to be a change for them as well, not just the folks on the factory floor or in our laboratories, but that leadership team has to think of new ways that they do their job as well.
Okay, Steve, so now we've talked about the challenges that are out there addressing workforce development, as well as the importance of leadership and some ways to train employees, existing employees, as well as the upcoming workforce. I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball, and at where do you see things going in the future?
I think the future is bright. I think the future is bright for manufacturing in general and for the workforce. I think the opportunities people are starting to see are broad. They're starting to realize that there's technology jobs, there's coding jobs and programming and generative AI and all these amazing technologies that people can use in manufacturing. And so I think there's a lot of growth. I also think that manufacturers are starting to realize that this idea of investing in our workforce and workforce development was a nice to have, right? And it would always be kind of a differentiator. It's now a requirement. If you're not doing this, if you're not investing in your workforce in the right ways, you will not survive as a future manufacturer. This is a vital thing that has to change. And because of that shift, I think companies are starting to look at new ways to do this. And one of the big areas is this idea of collaboration. And we're seeing a lot more collaboration in a variety of ways. So it could be within a company where learning is moving away from just that learning and development organization to being owned and shared by our continuous improvement teams, our digital teams, our manufacturing teams, our engineering teams. Everybody's involved in this learning and education opportunities, learning and development opportunities. And I think that's exciting. We're also seeing a lot more collaboration outside of the factory walls. A lot of public, private, academic collaboration going on, be it national with things like the Manufacturing Institute and what the Manufacturing USA Institutes are doing, developing a common roadmap for workforce development, to local, right? We're setting up a lot of local activities where companies that are in a region are working with the colleges and the community colleges together to make sure that they have a comprehensive program, or maybe there's more internship opportunities. Maybe there's more opportunities for students to get into a factory to see what things look like, but also for folks in the factory to get back into the college level and continue to learn that way. So this idea of collaboration is vital. That includes investments. As I said earlier, the CHIPS and Science Act is a great example of the government investing in workforce development and making sure it's a critical thing as we go forward. That investment has to come through a variety of ways. It's the government, it's academic institutes, and it's companies working together to invest in this, to provide those opportunities, and to really find ways to work together. The other thing is that there's groups like the Manufacturing Institute, the MI, that's looking for other ways to find that future workforce. They're doing a lot of work with veterans, right? How do you take the skills you developed in the armed forces and bring that into manufacturing? They're looking for a second chance program with nonviolent offenders, again, to give them opportunities. And then, as we talked about many times, they're working closely with community colleges to make sure there's a clear program where community colleges are developing the right skills our manufacturers need and bringing a bridge to connect community colleges and manufacturers together. So relationships, collaboration, I think it's exciting. And I think the future is bright for manufacturing and that future workforce.
Very good. Collaboration is key. I think that was the main message, Stephen, and I think you gave some nice examples of it here, which is great. We've come close to the end. We would like, as we always do, we'd like our guests to highlight a few key takeaways from the episode, things that you, for instance, wish you would have known when you started working with digital transformation or in workforce development a few years ago. Anything you'd like to leave with our audience?
Just a few takeaways, huh? I think one of the most important things I've learned with any transformation, be it digital or lean or innovation or with people, it has to start with a commitment to change. The technology, the process, the data, those are all vital. But if people aren't committed to being part of the change, you won't be successful. So one thing I've learned that I wish I would have done better earlier in my career is the idea of change management. Really figuring out how you develop that story of change, making sure that it's clear, that it resonates up and down and across the organization is vital. And really making sure you're managing that process of change. The other thing, back to collaboration, is as we move forward, it can't be the leadership team or the experts telling people what they need to learn. We really need to open up and have people be part of the change. So any transformation works best when people feel like they're part of the solution. Learning and development is the same. If our workforce, if our current and future workforce are identifying the opportunities and saying, this is what we need to learn to be successful, that's where we're going to get them excited. That's where they're going to get involved in the process. They're going to be willing to spend the time. They're going to be willing to get more involved. So I think change management and collaboration are just two things that we often talk about with transformation, but we don't really spend enough time on. And if we're going to be successful, we really have to go back to those core principles.
Thank you, Stephen, for joining us for today's conversation. And really thanks for enlightening us on this very important topic of workforce development in a digital age. I think you've given our audience several great tips to help them better ensure a successful digital transformation. And that brings us to the end of this episode. If you have questions about any of the topics we discussed today, please feel free to email Stephen directly. His email address is included in the show notes. And Jonas and I are always open to your comments, thoughts, and feedback on the show or the topics. You can also find our contact information in the show notes. We'd love to hear from you. If you liked what you heard today, please help to spread the word by rating the show. And if you're not already a subscriber and would like to be notified when new episodes are released, please subscribe to the series. Thank you for listening to this episode of Digitalization Tech Talks.